I've got a picture back in the day when Nat was just probably 12, 13 years old with Josh and Tim in front of that sign. And so I was just thinking that maybe we need to put a new canvas on there and get it reprinted. So I think we're going to look into that. Next slide, please. So we all got nicknames, and the guy with the whiskers in the middle there, you may not recognize him. His name is Pasta. Yeah. Otherwise, a.k.a. known as Kevin Olszewski. Yes. Almost like an NHL name. At any rate, Kevin was one of the counselors up at camp this week, and it was a lot of fun seeing him interact with the kids. And he made some special friends. And I hadn't realized that he was coming until just about the last minute, and I understand that he caved in after I begged him four times. So that actually proved to be a good payoff. I didn't have to do much more than that. Yeah. Glad you came, Kevin. His two sisters were also up there, and they were in the kitchen staff. And I'll tell you, they took care of us and made sure. And actually, Julianne, where are you? Where is she? She go downstairs? Okay, well, she was called Jules, and Lorene was called Val. So we all had camp nicknames, and Nat was called Sparky. Yeah. And Eric was up there with his big bushy beard, and he was called Lumberjack. And Frank was up there, and he was called George. Interesting. So we all went incognito. Nobody knew who we were. Yeah. I was Mitch. Pretty straightforward. Yeah. Okay, next picture. We had Uncle Harold up there, and he was doing a puppet slash flannel graph presentation, and it was really well done. Next slide. And he also did some chalk art, which was really well done, where he'd tell a story as he was drawing these different pictures. And the kids wanted them, and so several of them had them rolled up, and of course he warned them. He says, what you need to do is spray them with hairspray so that the chalk doesn't fall off. Well, anyway, the one little girl says, okay. Okay, so there's another scene of his, and kids were really enraptured by what he was saying. Next one. And especially when Willie came out. That's who the puppet is here, Willie. And he made this puppet by hand. And Willie's got a sister. We'll see her a little later. And so there you can see sort of the enraptured laughter of the kids. They all had a great time. Next one. And there were some fun and games. And Flynn took some pictures and shared them with me on Google Drive. And that's one of the shots. Yeah, it's great. There's two little pumpkins up in that slide, that play structure that we put up about a month ago. And there they're playing catch the flag. And so you can see the flag on the back of the pants where the kids are trying to get that. Okay. And then there's just hanging out and memorizing verses and just having a good time. George is on the right-hand side. Sparky's in the middle. And Pasta's over there, just about two-thirds over. And we had soccer pretty much every day. And the little guys were beating us all the time. And so Sparky and I and Swede, we got together. And we took on Benny's team. Benny is Sam over here. Benny, yeah. I asked him, what nickname would you like? And he said, Benny. I thought, oh, interesting. And Caitlin was called Bluebird, right? Did I get that right? And what were you called, Candace? Candy. And Liz, what were you called? Aussie. Yeah. That was goes without saying, yeah. Okay, so here's Flynn, and you know, spending time helping the kids memorize verses. And, of course, if you memorized a number of verses, you would be rewarded, and we'll show you that in a moment. And then we had these, what are these things called anyway, these big balloons? Sorry? Thorbs? Zorbs. Okay, Zorbs. Okay, got it. Never heard of that before, so I just called them big balloons. There's Bluebird. And there's Benny and all his friends. swinging around. Okay. And this was cabin pictures at the end of camp. There's another one. There's pasta. And there we are having a great banquet. Go back one. Everybody saw that. Eh? That was pretty good. Reminiscent maybe of what the banqueting table will be looking like when we get to glory. Okay, next shot. You know, I was going to give you a before and after, but the before is on the left and the after is on the right, okay? And it was just fun seeing them get pied. It was good. And I don't have all the pictures up there. There was lots of them. That is Sylvia got pied, and so did Chloe. And there's Lumberjack, the before and after. There's Sparky. Oh, yeah. Doesn't he look happy? He's wanting to lick that. Yeah. And there's the team of counselors. Of course, there's a number of them that had already gone. But we got that towards the end of the evening after we cleaned up the dishes and so on. The gal in the middle showing her muscles, that was the program director. Her name is Rianne. Okay. And there is Willie's sister, Holly. Yeah. And then last but not least, place where we seek to evangelize, disciple, minister to families, and you go to camp with a little bit of fear and trepidation, but you leave overjoyed with the fact that kids heard the gospel, and we prayed with a number of them. A number of them came to know the Lord, understood, and of course, there's a number that are still troubled, and as I shared in the ABF this morning, some children will probably go through life with a lot of scarring and hurts because of the circumstances that they're in. Anyway, just wanted to give you a little bit of a view of what happened at camp. Okay. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews just for a moment. Hebrews chapter 4. Eric was in our last song, we were talking about the priesthood of the Lord Jesus. Verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. And I trust that you're here because you're only too familiar with the fact that you're weak and you need the Lord to give you strength, and you're grateful that He does as you pray and you trust Him. It says, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. Just turn over a few pages over to chapter 9, verse 11. And when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but entered the most holy place once and for all by His own blood. And that's what we were talking about and singing about. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Verse 14, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences? Have a cleansed conscience before God. To cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. The Lord bless the reading of His word. Let's pray, and then I'll just ask a couple of you to come up and share, and then I'll share just a few thoughts out of Psalm 61 and Revelation 19. Thank You, Lord, again for the beautiful day. Thank You for each one who came up to Fisher Bay Bible Camp, who sacrificed their time and energy and But I know they receive so much more. Because we got to invest. We got to participate. We got to join you, Lord, in your work. We got to scatter the seed. We got to cultivate relationships. We got to pray and we got to see you at work. And we even saw young lives come to know you and understand you. And young people who want to read and to know you much more. So thank you for that. Thank you for your word here as we've read here in Hebrews chapter 4 and chapter 9. About our great high priest who loves us and shed his blood so that we might have peace with God and the knowledge of sins forgiven and a clear conscience. Help us to appreciate that more fully today as we've spent time together worshiping you. Thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to invite any of you men that would like to share something here this morning.
Please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. I was just thinking this morning about looking at verse 21 here. It's Romans chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in it his forbearance he has had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith. Do we then nullify the law of this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law." I was just thinking about how there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, and God loves us all the same, and he gave himself for us, and how great that is. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for allowing us to get together and to learn more about you. And we also pray, Lord, for those who aren't able to make it, that you would just bless them as well and bring them with us together again. And we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Well, lest you count for two, I said a couple. Psalm 61. I want you to imagine for a moment that you are in a remote part of the world and you're experiencing some persecution. You're lonely. Say, I don't even have to go to the remote part of the world to understand that. I can experience that right here. Yeah. The psalmist cries out with some measure of anguish and trying to rest in the promises of God. And as we come to break bread, all of us are here on coming out of an imperfect world, and we've had imperfect responses, different things that we faced. And maybe throughout the week you, or maybe at times as you read this psalm, you may have said, you know, that's me. That was the purpose why God preserved it, was so that you could go away and say, I feel like that. That's sort of where I'm at. So, well, why would we read that at the Lord's table? Like, I don't want to feel like that at the Lord's table. Well, I'll tell you, if you don't feel somewhat desperate and in need of God's grace here, I don't know where you're going to experience it. This is where God wants you to be able to cry out. He wants you to be able to fall on your face before Him and confess your need. And to be focused on that very thought here this morning, even as we read from Romans chapter 3, verse 21 and following, there is a righteousness apart from the law that's purely by faith. And to bow our faces before God and to pray is an expression of our faith and our trust in the living God. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge. Oh, I love that word. Refuge. Place where I can go and meet with God and be protected. Is it a physical place? Well, it can be. It can be your prayer closet. It can be your war room. It can be a place where, whether you're getting up early or going to bed late, and a place of solitude, a place where you focus on the grace and the love of God for you and knowing that God cares for you. The psalmist was very much aware of God's love for him. And so you've been a strong tower against the foe. And so I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O Lord. O God, pardon me. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. The heritage of those who fear God's name is one of provision, of grace, protection. Increase the days of the king's life. Interesting statement. Where's that coming from? What was the psalmist thinking about? Who was the king? Well, if it is a psalm of David and David is to be credited for it, it's quite possibly a personal prayer. So increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Now you start saying, okay, now hold it. That can't be limited to David. This must be pointing possibly to somebody else. Which king do you think is going to reign forever? They say King Jesus. King Jesus. Now David was promised that he would have a son who would be king and who would reign on the throne forever and ever. And David, as he called out to God in the midst of the struggles of life, was comforted by the fact that there was going to be a coming king. Now, I don't know what your week was like, but you sure can lose perspective pretty quickly in the midst of the busyness of life. Now, you could lose sight and be overwhelmed by the circumstances that you face and forget that there's a coming king. A place where we break bread is a reminder that the king gave his life and that the king is coming back. The king gave his life for a reason. He gave his life for you and for me. He shed his blood. He allowed his body to be battered and beaten, crucified to a cross. Say, what kind of king is that? And no king would allow himself to do that. But we have no normal king here. We have a king, priest, who gives his life for his flock, for his people. The psalmist goes on to say, appoint your love and your faithfulness to protect him. We're not really sure how David looked at this future king who was going to reign forever. But David certainly was aware of the spiritual battle that was raging on day after day. Are you aware of the raging battle for the lives of men, boys and girls, men and women, boys and girls in our world? Verse 8. Then I will ever sing of your praise, the praise to your name, and fulfill my vows day after day. Go over to Revelation for a moment, chapter 19. The king is coming. The first time he came in humility. He willingly allowed himself to be born in a very normal way, born of a virgin. He permitted himself to be crucified, mocked. He allowed people to question his goodness and the things that were expressed from his lips. He came in humility. Philippians chapter 2 says that although he came in such a way, fashioned as a man, became obedient even to the point of death, God has exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In Revelation chapter 19, people still aren't there yet. But we are here today. We are here already confessing and bowing. But you could very easily lose perspective. I'm sorry. And maybe you have. And maybe what I'm saying to you today will help you to come back into focus and to realize that the simplicity of breaking bread is to remember that the king gave his life and the king is coming back. And when he comes back the next time, he's going to vanquish his enemies. And he'll overthrow them by the power of his word. Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven standing open. And there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. And with justice he judges and makes war. First time the king came to make peace with his creation. He knew and was quite aware of the raging spiritual battle in the unseen realm. But he wanted everybody to focus on him. And so he did signs and wonders. And he forgave people. And we read those stories. And as the kids were hearing this at Bible camp, and they were tracking with Uncle Harold The children were saying, well, where's that found in the Bible? And I'd be opening the pages and trying to help them find these different passages. And as Eric shared with us this morning in our ABF, come bedtime, these kids wanted to hear the word. Well, the living word is coming. He's returning. But this time it won't be in peace, it'll be to make war. After all, kings defend their people. Kings rescue. Kings protect. And kings destroy whatever might threaten the kingdom. And so with justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. Now stop for a moment. Just look at those words. What could these crowns possibly represent? They represent certainly truth, certainly justice, certainly grace and mercy and compassion to forgive. So many things that we could talk about here this morning in terms of crowns. But not simply as it relates to the attributes of God, but the things that he has conquered, the things that he owns. God owns Jupiter. God owns Neptune. God owns everything that we can see. It's his. He's coming to reclaim it. The first time he came with a message of peace. And we are his ambassadors to proclaim that message so that boys and girls, men and women would hear and understand. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. Now you should be asking the question, boys and girls, wonder what that name is. What is that name? Mommy and Daddy, what is that name? Is there anywhere in the Bible that gives us any indication of what that name is? It's a name that only he knows. Surely it's as wonderful as truth and faithful. It says he is dressed. How could the king be dressed? How will the king be dressed when he returns? And there's a picture here that seems to be a little out of place, but yet it's absolutely befitting of who this king is. No, he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. What blood? His own blood. The blood that he shed for you and for me. I say, what name? There's a name that only he knows, but there's a name that we know him by. His name is the Word of God. The Word of God that gives a living message to the dead to bring life. And I have life because of the Word of God. And the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword. Now that's a picture you can't quite figure. I wonder what this sword is going to do. No, this sword is to strike the nations. And it says that he will rule them, and this is a quotation out of Psalm 2, he will rule them with an iron scepter. God is going to rule what is rightfully his. Wow. Lord, I submit today. I want to submit today. I want to be under your rule. Your rule is just. Your rule is merciful. Your rule is loving and forgiving. I submit today to that rule. As I come to break bread, I recognize that the death of Christ was not for no reason, but for every reason that my life would be redeemed and yours. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. This king is going to come back and pour out his wrath at a point in time. Currently, his wrath is being displayed in different ways, but there's a point in time where he personally will be represented in his actions as he executes wrath on the nations. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written. So far, we know that he has a name that no one knows. We know that he has a name that's written on him called the Word of God. And then on his thigh, he has some more names. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess. Back to Psalm 61. Increase the days of the king's life. Verse 6. His years for many generations, and may he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love in faithfulness and faithfulness to protect him. The psalmist probably had a limited understanding of what we get to look at as we look at Revelation 19. We actually have a fuller view of the future, but we have to confess that we haven't got it all figured out. We don't know the time. We don't know how this age is going to end specifically as it relates to this place. We know that unless the Lord returns, all of us are going to go back to the dust. Unless the Lord returns, of course, we realize that the gospel will go forth. It'll go forth in power. One of the prayers that we're praying for as it relates to the northern communities in Manitoba, which are primarily Native First Nations, is that God would provide a man and a woman take on the ministry of Fisher Bay Bible Camp. The board is clearly exercised about doing that. They see the need. You hear about the need. Those of you who went up to camp saw the need. And yet we were only given a scintillation, just a glimmer of some of the things that are taking place there. But it's not just there, it's here too. The dysfunction in our society. Oh Lord, may your church be the church. May we share the word. May we represent the King who is coming. May, as we see him being faithful and true, may we be faithful and true. May we love as we are loved. May we worship him. I know you're a little distracted. After all, you've got a watch. And the watch tells you, oh, it's lunchtime, tapeworm's getting active. Don't let that watch rob you of these two passages that we looked at here today. Ask those of you who are going to serve this morning to come forward at this time. As they're coming forward, you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The letter to the Corinthians is only an excerpt of some of the things that Paul would have taught them. Just as a lot of times I'm sharing a few thoughts with you, they are by no means ever recorded as such. All the private conversations that we've had that I might allude to in a message or something that we might say. You see, the Word of God is representative of the things that God wanted to preserve to help us to live. And so Paul specifically taught on the Lord's table, 1 Corinthians 11, down at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. What are you passing on to your kids? What are you passing on to your wives, men? Ladies, what are you passing on to your husbands to strengthen them, to help them? You men, are you being examples, passing on what you've received from the Lord? Young people, taking the things that you've heard, passing it on. Because one day, we're not going to be here. There's going to be different people here. We're going to die, but will we have passed it on? So when the King of Kings comes, will he find faith upon the earth? I pray that he will. I ask one of the men to give thanks for the loaf.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for this bread which symbolizes your body which was broken to redeem us, Lord, to bring us back into relationship with you and to pay the penalty for our sins. Lord, thank you that you were willing to do that. Thank you that you loved us so much. And you still do, and you still want to walk with us, and that you are faithful and true to us. Lord, we thank you for each one here that is seeking to walk with you and to be a light and represent you in their daily lives. Lord, I pray that today we would be encouraged and remember your sacrifice. Lord, I just pray these things in your name. Amen.
Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord, I too want to thank you for the cup that represents your blood that was shed for our sins, to wash away our sins. Lord, thank you that you have atoned for us. You've paid the penalty that we deserve. Ask that you would continue to bless our time together. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I'll ask you to stand. Tonight we have baptisms. You can see the tanks set up. We do want to have a time of fellowship afterwards. If you can come, that would be great. Of course, it's meant to be an encouragement to the candidates. They, of course, have thought long and hard about the significance of identifying with the work and the person of the Lord Jesus. And so if you can make it, that'd be great. That'd be an encouragement to them. Any other announcements I need to make? Okay. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Nat, can I get you to pray for us? Come on over. Yeah.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we could celebrate communion this morning. Lord, thank you that we have peace with you. And even though it's hard for us to even imagine your plan and how you knew it in eternity and how Jesus would pay the penalty for us and how you're just and you've taught us how to live in light of that. And Lord, we pray that we would live with forgiveness and grace in our lives, Lord, and help us to love one another. Lord, we pray as we go from here that you would be with us, help us to practice hospitality with each other and with others as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Greet each other with a holy handshake. Someone you didn't shake a hand with this morning, go on over there and let them know.